So today is day two of our 3 days about matrices. So we learned stuff about matrices last Thursday. We're going to review that a little bit today, and then we do more today, and then we do tomorrow. And I'm also going to give you your quiz back. I just entered the grades this morning, and I posted a key for this quiz on Blackboard. Over there on the left where it says keys, just click it, and it says key to 3A. So we'll get that back. And then I'll also give out tonight's homework, which is modified. Like, this is the one you're going to do, not the one in there. So it's kind of last time where I modified. It's only two times we do that, is these two matrices. Okay, so usually we have a couple people still trickle in, so I'm just going to ask you a couple questions and see what you recall from the last lecture. So question number one. Just to remind you stuff. Which way do rows go? And columns go? So what's the dimensions of this matrix? Yeah, 2 by 3. What is to the right of the line?
Answer.
Like the lines like the equals and the answers are over there. So when you have a matrix that's got the line, they called it an augmented matrix. That means it's got the answers attached to it. And hopefully you remember how to pull that out to the system. So over here, 2x plus 6y equals 3, and x plus 2y equals 4. And you should be able to go back and forth between the system of linear equations and the augmented matrix. We talked about that a little bit last time. Questions on that part? Okay. If you see a matrix like this, that's got a name when it's in that certain format right there. Does anybody remember what that name is? Matilda said row echelon. Row echelon form has two criteria that are met. Do you remember it's got ones down the diagonal, the main diagonal, so ones down the diagonal right here, and it's got zeros underneath it. And if your matrix is in row echelon form, you can pull it out of the matrix, and then you can solve it. The technique was called back substitution. And you had to do that on your quiz, and everybody but two people got that one right. And the reason they got it wrong was just plugging something in and not distributing the negative correctly or whatever. So they kind of knew this was z is 5, and you can back substitute in to figure out what y is, and then back substitute in y and z to figure out what x is. So that was a really good skill that y'all had on that one, because that's important that you can do that part of it. What works? So I'm just going to make a smaller one more time. So 1, 3, 6, 0, 1, negative 2, for instance. This matrix is in row echelon form also. 1's down the diagonal just means there's two of them. It's a much smaller matrix to begin with. And there's only going to be one zero underneath it right here because it's the smaller version to begin with. So this one is the XYZ with 3 equations. This one's just XY with 2 equations. We spend most of our time talking about matrices of these two sizes, but they can get bigger and bigger and bigger. Do you want to talk about any applications like that, like huge matrices or how data is stored?
I always like to talk about the weather.
Okay, do you want to talk about that for 1 second so they at least come have some appreciation? About what? Why do we have X, Y, Z, and like why can't it get even bigger? What's the beauty of a matrix?
Yeah, if all we had to do was 3x3s and 2x2s, we wouldn't need to learn matrices, right?
Yeah.
Because you could just do it by hand. But there are some big problems that can only be solved with computers, and for example, weather forecasting. So what they do is they break up the atmosphere in basically cubic meter chunks, the entire atmosphere, and then they have these linear equations that go between these chunks of atmosphere, and it turns out that they end up looking like systems of equations. And how many cubic meters do you think there are in some portion of the atmosphere? Well, it could be millions, it could be billions. So we've got these million by million instead of 3x3, we've got million by million. And then you need supercomputers to solve them. So that's one example, which I like to talk about. There are many others, but...
Yeah, it's a very efficient way to store large pieces of data and in big matrices. But we're just doing very small ones, and like they just said, what we're going to do today is figure out how to make a matrix look like this. We want one down the diagonal and a zero in this position. Because if we have it looking like this, we can solve it with that substitution. But that's the fourth way. We know three other ways: graphing, substitution, elimination. In reality, if we were going to do one of this size, we would do substitution or elimination. It's easy, we can do it pretty quickly. But we're going to learn how to maneuver the matrix around with a smaller one, just so it's much smaller, like the resounding numbers to keep track of. We might extend it a little bit to this size, but we won't go beyond these two sizes today of what we're going to be doing. Okay, so let's talk for a minute about pudding. So up until today, the matrix was given to you like this, with one down a diagonal and a zero in this position. Because if you have it this way, you can use back substitution to solve it. You would just say y equals negative 2. Just to remind you, you would say y equals negative 2. And let's see, x plus 3y equals 6. And then I could plug in negative 2 right there. And I would get x plus 3 times negative 2 equals 6. So x minus 6 equals 6. And x equals 12. And so my answer would be like 12, negative 2. So that skill we've already done. So hopefully once you have it like this, you can use that substitution to get the x and the y coordinates. It took more steps sort of in the matrix than it would just if we did substitution or elimination, but you're going to have to go with that today. Because you have to demonstrate that you can solve a system by using a matrix. Okay, so that's what we're going to work on. Putting a 2x3 matrix into row echelon form. So let's recall our goal. Our goal is to get a 1, a 1, a 0, like this. These three positions can be any numbers. But row echelon form means you have ones down this diagonal right here. So that's a yes. And we have a 0 underneath the main diagonal. That's going to be a yes. And so these numbers can be any numbers. Does that make sense? They're going to be different numbers for everyone that you do. These guys up here in those positions. So this is just going to be a number. This is going to be a number. This is going to be a number. They could even be fractions or decimals. But for the most part, for us, they're just going to be integers that we're going to deal with. So the order is important. So the first thing we want to do is get a 1 in that upper left position. So that's the first thing we're going to do. The second thing we're going to do is get a 0 underneath it. So that's the second thing we're going to do. And then the third thing we're going to do is get a 1 in that position. And I'm just going to put like number, 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 kind of going to trail along in those positions. There could be any number in those positions. So we have to have like a goal in mind, our strategy. Our strategy is, hey, we got to get a 1 in this position first, and I'll teach you how to do that. And we got to get a 0 here, and we'll learn how to do that. And then we got to get a 1 here, and then we'll teach you how to do that. And then you can use back substitution to solve it once you have it in that position. Everybody good so far? Just the idea. Might not know how to do any of it yet because we're going to work on that, but that's the goal. And it's called Gaussian elimination. The technique is called Gaussian elimination. And so you'll see that in the direction set as you're reading tonight's homework. Use Gaussian elimination to put your matrix in row echelon form. And basically that means use the things we're going to learn today to make your matrix look like this, so that you can use back substitution to solve it. So Gaussian elimination has three things that we're allowed to do. There's three rules of the game. And if you deviate from the three rules, you're going to get it wrong. So to me, this is just a game. This is a game with a goal, and there's three rules, and I must follow the three rules. So three things we are allowed to do. And we're going to learn each one of those three things and practice that just individual skill for a minute. Like, here's rule number one, let's practice a little bit. Here's rule number two, let's practice a little bit. Here's rule number three, we'll practice a little bit. And then we'll play the whole game of trying to get the matrix in order. Okay, so first thing you're allowed to do. You are allowed to interchange any two rows. For example, there's going to be lots of little examples right now with some matrices that you're going to have to write down. So let's say you're provided this matrix right when you start. You have something that looks like this. So we're attempting to put this matrix in row echelon form. And I know the first thing I want to do is I want to get a 1 that's upper left position. Do you see how he is a 1? So if we could just swap these two rows, interchange the rows, the one would be in the position that we want, right? So that's something that you're allowed to do. We can just interchange rows to get what we want to happen. So if I want the one to be here and he's currently here, I'm going to interchange those two rows. But you must tell the person what you're doing. So it looks like this. So currently as we're sitting here, this is row number one and this is row number two. So they're sort of capital R's with a subscript underneath them. So in your mind, this is row number one and this is row number two. So we're going to swap row one and row two. And matrices take a lot of paper because they start with this iteration, then you get one underneath it, one underneath it, one underneath it. So underneath it, some people go left, I go down. Do you go that way?
It depends on how much paper.
It depends on how much paper you have. Like we might put the new one over here. Normally I just kind of go down to the next one, so I'm going to go to a new piece of paper. So I'm going to go ahead and swap row one and row two. It's going to create a new matrix. It's going to look like this. Now, don't forget to swap every corresponding element. So the 1, 5, and the 2 went up to the top. And the 2, negative 3, and the 7 went down to the bottom. And now, off to the left, you tell the person what you did. This says, I interchanged row 1 and row 2. Do you do the double arrow?
Yep.
Okay. That stuff on the left is super important because that tells everybody what you did to accomplish that first goal that you did. So it's like a line with the arrowheads on the end on each one that says, hey, we interchanged row one and row two. Questions on that so far? Okay. So let's go to a second example. Let's say you're given this matrix right here. And the directions would say, like, what would be the next step to solving this matrix? So this is a bigger one. But the goal is still to get a 1 in that upper left position. So do you see an easy way to get a 1 up there? What would you do?
Swap
row 1 with row 3. So do that and state it correctly next to it. So in a 3x3, this is row 1, this is row 2, this is row 3. And put that sentence, that little number sentence that says what you did, next to row 1. Like, it doesn't sit there out there to the right next to everybody. It's next to the row that you swapped out. So it would look like that. You swapped row 1 and row 3. so that anybody looking at your paper in this class would immediately know what you did. Row 2 is going to stay just the same, so he doesn't swap or move or anything. All you did was interchange row 1 and row 3. So it would look something like that. Regardless of which size matrix you see, we accomplished the first goal. I'm just even going to put a little check mark next to it saying, hey, we got that one in that upper left position, which is what we wanted to happen. So that's easy. That's an easy fix. If somebody's got a 1 underneath it and you want it to become a 1, you can just interchange the two rows. Any questions on that one? Okay. Let's go on to the next one. So rule number 2. You can multiply any row. By a non-zero constant. I mean, you don't want to multiply by zero, because that would just zero the entire row out. We don't want that to happen. And there might be lots of reasons why you might want to multiply a row by a non-zero constant. And we're going to go through a few examples about why you might want to do that. So here's the first example. Let's say in your matrix, you don't have a 1 in the upper left position, but you have a negative 1. We don't want it to be negative 1. We want it to be 1, right? So you're allowed to multiply this row by whatever you want to make that happen. So if I multiply row 1 by negative 1, that will now flip to become positive 1. Do you agree? So that would look like this. You're showing the person what you did on the left, so negative 1 times row 1. And then that's going to be my new row 1. I'm going to do that part in my head, though. Like negative 1 times negative 1 is 1. Negative 1 times 6 is negative 6. And negative 1 times 2 is negative 2. The minute you don't do the entire row by whatever you said, it's not equivalent anymore. So that would screw things up. So make sure you do everybody by what you say you're going to do. And then we just bring this row across. And we did it. We got a 1 in that upper left position. So that's kind of nice. Everybody okay with that idea? That you can multiply by negative 1 all the way across if that's what needs to happen. Okay. This one. 2, 10, 6. 3, 7, 9. Okay. If our goal is to get a 1 in that upper left position, and I'm telling you how we can get 1s, we can interchange rows, but I don't have a 1 to interchange. Do you agree? Or I can multiply a row by whatever I want. When I glance at row number 1, I notice that they're all divisible by 2. Do you see that? Like 2, 10, and 6 are all divisible by 2. And so, in my mind, I think I'm going to divide the whole row by 2. Because 2 divided by 2 is 1, and 10 divided by 2 is 5, and 6 divided by 2 is 3. But we don't technically say that we're going to divide by a number. We say we have to multiply by somebody. So dividing by 2 is the same as multiply by a half. So we're going to take 1/2. Oops, it's 1/2 times row 1. And that's going to be the new row 1. So you can use your calculator if you need to, but multiplying by 1/2 is the same as dividing by 2. So half of 2 is 1. That was our goal to get the 1 there. We just did it. Half of 10 is 5. Half of 6 is 3. 3, 7, 9, down. And we did it that way. And so we accomplished the 1 right there. So sometimes that's a pretty important way to get a 1. You either swap rows to get a 1, or you multiply by somebody to get a 1. That's the two ways to get a 1 in a position. Whether it's this position right here, or this position right here, it's the same deal. So let's take a look at this next example. The matrix is given to you like this. 1, 3, 6, 0, negative 5, negative 15, for instance. So our goals were, well, we got a 1 right here. We've accomplished that first one, was already given to us that way. And the 0 underneath it was also already given to it that way. So the 1 I'm trying to create is right here in that position, right? To get the final row echelon part would be that, to have it, that had become a 1. I can become a 1 by interchanging rows, but that's not going to be helpful at all. What would you do? So what I'm going to write down is what I think in my head. In my head, I'm dividing by negative 5 because that's going to create a 1 there. But we're not allowed to divide by negative 5. We have to say multiply by 1 over negative 5. Multiply by negative 1/5. So 1, 3, 6 doesn't change at all. So in order to get a 1 in this position, I'm dividing by negative 5 for both of them, but we don't say divide by negative 5. We say multiply by 1 over negative 5. So multiplying by negative 1/5 times row 2. Notice this is the first time where the directions are kind of down low because row 2 I'm manipulating. So the directive right here is always sitting next to the row that you've manipulated. So would it make sense to have that up here? Because this is a row 2 operation. So notice when you multiply 0 by negative 1/5, it remains 0. That's pretty important that that guy doesn't change because we're trying to keep that 0 in that position. Negative 1/5 times negative 5 is positive 1. That's why we chose to do that number right there. And negative 15 divided by negative 5 is 3. And so you did it. We did it. That was sort of the culmination one was being the 1 in this position. Just showing you that sometimes you're trying to get the 1 up here. Sometimes you're trying to get the 1 right here. It just depends on where you're at. So you got that idea about multiplying by somebody to create the 1. Whatever you divide it by, put 1 over it. And then you can get a 1 in that position. And I see some of you double-checking that on your calculator, so you can use your ABC key and negative 15 times 1 over negative 5, and you will end up showing the number 3 right there. So there's 3 things we're allowed to do. Interchange rows and multiply a row by a non-zero constant. We just did kind of both of those. Now we're to a little bit harder one. The third rule is a little bit hard to explain because the third rule is how you get zeros. And zeros is a little bit trickier part. How to get ones to be easy. Just interchange a row and multiply by somebody to create that 1 that you want. But now we've got to get that 0 in that position right there. That's the trickier one. So let's talk about that. And I'm going to write it in English just so you have the rule written down, but it probably won't make any sense until you actually do a couple of them. So any row can be changed by adding or subtracting its elements by a multiple of the corresponding elements of another. Kind of a long thing that you won't understand until you actually see an action, probably. But this is used to get the zeros. Below the ones. So the first 2 things were to get the ones. Now we're going to focus on how in the world you get a 0, like underneath a 1. And we're going to go through several examples of this. -1, -6, -12, -3, -7, 10. All right. So our main focus for the next 3 examples that we do are going to be to get that 0 in this position right here. There will already be a 1 in the upper left. I'm giving it to you with a 1 in the upper left. But how do you get a 0 right here? Okay. So, first off, rewrite row number 1. Because row number 1 is not going to be changed. And I don't want you to be tempted to change row number 1. Alright, so now I'm going to look at this number. The number is negative 3. I want a positive 3 introduced in the problem. Because positive 3 plus negative 3 is 0. Do you agree? So, that's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to show you, and then we'll do it together. I'm going to take row 1, and I'm going to multiply it by 3, and then I'm going to add it to row 2. So I'm going to say it. I'm going to do 3 times row 1, and then I'm going to add it to row 2. So jot that down. Then we're going to do it very slowly off to the side, and we're going to practice it several times, and then you'll see. Some people can do this part in their head, but I'm not going to do it in my head. I'm going to do it kind of off to the right a little bit. So if I take row 1 and I multiply everybody by 3, I would have a 3. Let's see, 1 times 3 is 3. Negative 6 times 3 is negative 18. And 12 times 3 is 36. So there's the 3 times row 1 kind of written off to the right just to help me a little bit. The original row 2, which is right here, I'm going to write underneath it. So the original row 2 was negative 3, 7, 10. And then I'm going to add them together because we're saying right here, hey, let's add them together. And I created this scenario to get a 0 right here. That's exactly what I'm going to get. 3 plus negative 3 is 0. This is negative 11. And this is 46. That's your new row 2. 0, negative 11, 46. With the goal being to get that 0 right there, which is exactly what I just accomplished. This just helped me with the arithmetic of it, so I didn't have to do any of that in my head. So that's the very first one I'm showing you. We're going to do several more of the same idea. You need to create a pair of opposites so that they zero out when you add them together. So let's practice that again with like another set. And so this always says what you're going to do to make it happen. This is the numbers behind it that make it happen. And this is your new entry right here. It goes in that position right there. This is how you get zeros underneath. Okay, let's try this one. 1, 3, 4. 1, 2, 10. So, I'm already giving it to you with the 1 in that position. So that part's already been accomplished. Now we need to get a 0 underneath it. We do not have a pair of opposites, do you agree? So, I want that to be a negative 1 so that when I add together, it zeroes out. So I think the smart thing to do would be negative 1 times row 1 plus row 2. If I multiply negative 1 times row 1 add to row 2, that will become 0. But showing you how that happens over here, we're going to do it. So negative 1 times row 1. Negative 1 times 1 is negative 1. I lost track of what I was told you to do at the beginning. Rewrite the first one. I did that wrong, because it shouldn't be right here at all. It should be down here. I should have rewritten the matrix, but I just lost track of what I was doing for a second. So, that was the original. We're now to the next step. So, we have a new matrix underneath it. Bring down row 1, because he doesn't change. The new and improved row 2 is going to be negative 1 times row 1 plus row 2. So, let's see. Negative 1 times row 1. Negative 1, negative 3, negative 4. And then it says add to it the original row 2. The original row 2 was 1, 2, 10. So adding them together, there's that 0 that I wanted. Negative 3 plus 2 is negative 1. And negative 4 plus 10 is 6. And so I got 0, negative 1, 6. And we got the 0 like we wanted. So we did. How do you feel about that? You got to pick what you're going to multiply by, and the world's your oyster on that one. It just depends on what the problem says. Sometimes you got to multiply by a negative number, sometimes a positive number, sometimes 3, sometimes negative 7. Whatever is the opposite of what you're given underneath it, you've got to create above it. And because you always have the number 1 above it, it's quite easy. That's why you have the number 1 above it. So we're going to try now to do a matrix from start to finish of what you need to do on the exam or what your knowledge should be. So here we go. We're going to go through several of them, so this is just the first one. So the directions say solve the following system using a matrix and Gauss-Jordan elimination. And it will look like just like these systems we've been doing by substitution and elimination, because it's just, you know, they all give the same answer at the end. So, step number 1, pull it out of the system and put it into a matrix. Do that. And everybody should agree on that. And the minute you drop a sign, it never fixes it. If it's set 5 up there and you're negative 5 and you bring down a 5, you're never going to get the answers right. So be really careful what you do. Okay, so our goals go a 1 here, then a 0 here, then a 1 here. What do you see is going to be the easiest way to get a 1 in the upper left? Swap rows. I agree. So that's you interchanging row 1 with row 2. Because we were lucky enough to have a 1 underneath it, the easiest way to make that happen is just to swap it out. Alright, so goal number 1, created. Easy enough. Second goal is to get a 0 underneath it. So to get a 0 underneath it, we're going to have to use the 1 above it. It's currently a positive 2, so we need that one to be a negative 2. Do you agree? Yeah. So, make another one underneath it. Row 1 is not going to change from this point on, so just bring him down. Don't be tempted to change that one. So if I take, let's see, if that's a positive 2, I want negative 2 times row 1, and then I'm going to add it to row 2 to create the new and improved row 2. So that's going to go right here as soon as I figure out what numbers are going to go there. In the meanwhile, I'm going to go off to the right to make that happen. So let's see, negative 2 times row 1. So negative 2 times 1 is negative 2. Negative 2 times 2 is negative 4. Negative 2 times negative 5 is 10. So that's the negative 2 times row 1 part. Then it says add to it the original row 2. So just bring row 2 down. So 2, negative 1, 5. If you're looking in the book or looking at examples or watching a video or something, they might not even show this part up here. They might just do it in their head. Like, we would probably just do it in our head. We don't have to write this all the time. But to show you where things are coming from, and you're just learning it in one day, I would always write it down. So that gives me a 0, negative 5, and a 15. So 0, negative 5, 15. Is that what yours looks like? Did we do it? Yeah, we got that 0. So now we've got a 1 here. Got that goal accomplished. We've got a 0 here. Got that goal accomplished. And what's our third and last goal? Now, yeah, that negative 5 needs to become a 1. How are we going to do that? Multiply by 1 over negative 5. Perfect. And we are very, very fortunate in that they're both divisible by 5. I think in every matrix you guys do, there's not going to, when you're first learning, we don't throw fractions at you. So if things aren't going evenly and you're not getting nice integer solutions, you've probably screwed up something within your matrix right at this point in time.
So we're now to our third and final phase of the matrix part of it. So 1, 2, negative 5.
I don't need to do anything off to the right for this. I just need to say what I'm going to do right here. So I'm dividing them both by negative 5, which means I'm multiplying by 1 over negative 5 times row 3. Notice when you multiply 0 times anybody, it remains 0. That's why the order is important. Like if you didn't have a 0 there and you had the 1, you're trying to get the 1 here first, you're going to mess up your zeros that you tried to accomplish. So. I don't know why I wrote row 3. Thank you. I looked at Matilda's face and she was like, and I knew I screwed up. That kind of day, I guess. Negative 5 divided by negative 5 is 1. 15 divided by negative 5 is negative 3. Oh, we did it. We did it. It is now in row echelon form. So once you have it in row echelon form, you're going to pull it back out of the matrix.
So x plus 2y equals negative 5. Y equals negative 3.
And I would like for you to solve for x for me. See if you can finish it out and figure out what x is. What'd you get for x? 1.
So x plus 2 times negative 3 equals negative 5. X minus 6 equals negative 5. X equals 1.
And when it says give your answer as an ordered pair, they just want you to do that. So we will totally agree that this matrix stuff took a whole page for something I could have done quite easily up at the top by elimination and gotten the same answer quicker. But you are learning three rules and how to play with three rules. Because if you had to solve a 3x4, you would have to do it this way in general. So, like, it's just, but instead of keeping track of 12 numbers, we're only keeping track of, like, a few numbers. So it's a little bit easier. Okay, there was your first example. Do you feel like you're ready to try one on your own? We'll do it all together, but you could try one on your own. I mean, at the end, we'll do it together. So here's example number 2. Exact same direction set. I'm going to give you a system. You're going to put it in a matrix. It's either going to take 2 or 3 to get to come out of this, to get in row echelon form, and then bring it out. So you're just going to practice that a few more times today.
So here it is. Negative x minus 2y equals 7. Negative x plus y equals negative 2. See how far you can get just sort of on your own, or you could check with your neighbor.
Fortunately, there's not a lot of options in such a small matrix. We would all probably do it the same way, I would say. We're pretty close to the same way. And that's a negative 2. Just didn't show it really well. Thank you. How's it going? Do you have a one here? Does everybody get a one here first? How did you do that? How did you make that negative one become a positive one? Multiply the one by negative one? Did everybody do that first step? Because that's pretty much the first step. You want that negative one to become a positive one by multiplying row one by negative one.
So negative one times row one is now going to become 1, 2, negative 7, negative 1, 1, negative 2.
Maybe that's all you got. Like, okay, I could get it out. I could get a 1 there, and now I need to sit for a minute and think about what I'm going to do. This one's actually quite nice. Why is this one kind of nice at this point? Because these are already opposites, right? I don't have to multiply that guy by anybody over here. If I just add row 1 and row 2 together, that's going to make that become a 0. So sometimes that's really nice, where you don't have to do,
where there's a natural pair of opposites that just occurred in that position.
So don't change row 1 at this point. 1, 2, negative 7 remains. I'm simply going to do row 1 plus row 2.
I didn't need to multiply anybody times anybody because they already were opposites.
That part I can just kind of do in my head, I think.
1 plus negative 1 is 0. 2 plus 1 is 3. Negative 7 plus negative 2 is negative 9. And I'm going to let that sit for 1 second before we go on.
Raise your hand if you got that for yourself.
Oh, good for you.
I found that some people just really enjoy matrices. If they like logic kind of puzzles or like number puzzles a lot of times, like, oh, this is, I got rules to follow and I can follow some rules to accomplish a goal, and I love that. And some people just hate it because it's just like no one's telling you what to do per se. I got this. So got that accomplished, got that accomplished. What's my last goal? To get that 3 to become a 1 by multiplying that row by, dividing it by 3, but really multiplying by 1/3. Dividing by 3 and multiplying by 1/3, the same thing.
But matrix operations are always done by multiplying by something.
So don't change row 1. 1, 2, negative 7. It's going to be 1/3 times row 3. Notice how this 0 doesn't change, because a third times 0 is still 0. 1/3 of 3 is 1. And 1/3 of negative 9 is negative 3. And you did it.
You got it in row echelon form with the 1s and the 0s. So now I can pull it out of the matrix.
X plus 2y equals negative 7. I now know that y equals negative 3. I don't know why I keep doing that. Because normally we don't do that.
Normally we're like in a bigger matrix, I guess. I don't know. I got no excuse.
Minus 1. So I got to figure out what x is. So x plus 2 times negative 3 equals negative 7. X minus 6 equals negative 7. I got x to equal negative 1. So I believe the solution of this matrix is negative 1, negative 3. The solution of the system by the matrix method.
How do you know if that's the right answer? Plug it in. It's got to be true for both. And it's negative negative 1 is 1, plus 6 is 7, so it checks in the first one, and 1 plus negative 3 is negative 2, it checks in the second one. That's the solution. Raise your hand if you got it. Yeah. Like from start to finish, you go, oh, yeah, that's really good. If half the class got it the very first time we're doing it, that's a pretty good success rate. Okay. Let's take a look at this one, another example. Okay, same direction set. This is example number 3. Solve using Gaussian elimination. Any bright ideas on how to start this one? Just this is swap rows. If this, look up here real quick. If this had been like 2, 4, and another even number, I would have just divided everybody by 2. But that's going to end in 7 halves. I don't particularly want to do that if I can avoid it. So she suggested to swap the rows. Is that what you're saying? It's not going to put a 1 there at the moment, but it's going to put a negative 1 there, which is, in essence, going to become a 1. Okay, I agree with that.
So row 1 swaps with row 2.
All right, well, I got the negative 1 up there. Now what? Multiply by negative 1.
So negative 1 times row 1. 1, 2, negative 5. 2, 4, 7.
Pretty happy about that. It took me 2 steps to get that 1 there, but we got the 1 there. Alright. Our next goal is to get a 0 underneath it. So that's currently a positive 2, so I need to have a negative 2 involved, right? Because negative 2 plus positive 2 is 0. So I'm going to need to multiply row 1 by negative 2.
So bring down the original, or not the original, but the new row 1 like this.
So getting the zeros is always the trickier bit, because you need to use like the row above it. So it's negative 2
times row 1 plus row 2.
This one I am going to do off to the side. So negative 2 times row 1. Let's see.
1 times negative 2 is negative 2. 2 times negative 2 is negative 4. Negative 2 times negative 5 is positive 10.
So there's the negative 2 times row 1 part of the problem. Now I'm going to add to it row 2, so just bring across row 2 and plunk it down right here.
So it was 2, 4, 7. Add them together. And we've got a little bit of a problem.
What's the little bit of a problem that happened? Yeah, she said 0 does not equal 17. We got the 0 there that we intended to. We inadvertently put a 0 in this position also. Do you agree? That's the first time that happened. And we have the number 17 over here. Do you remember what that means? What does it mean? No solution. No solution. All the variables dropped away, basically. And you're kind of staring at 0 equals 17, which is not true. And so the answer to that one is no solution. So you can get no solution in a matrix, too, when you get those zeros. And we talked about that last week, just reminding you again. When you have 0 here, 0 here, and not 0 here, no solution. You would not have predicted that just from glancing it up there, maybe, until you kind of put it in and started manipulating the numbers around a little bit. Okay, try this one. Because there's already one there. And sometimes that happens is just to get. Oh, there's a one there. I don't need to worry about that one. I do need to worry about getting a zero underneath that one right there. It's currently a positive two, so I'm going to need a negative two, agree? So let's see. I'm going to leave row one alone. One, negative three, one. I want to get a zero right there, so I'm going to use the one above it by multiplying by negative two times row one plus row two. That will create a pair of opposites. So negative two times row one, let's see. Negative 2 times 1 is negative 2. Negative 2 times negative 3 is positive 6.
negative 2 times 1 is negative 2. And row 2 original is 2, negative 6, 2. And when I add these guys together, I get a row of zeros, which is a very, very, very different conclusion. Do you remember? So remember that the answer is never 0 equals 0. That's never an answer. And we don't say, we know there's infinitely many solutions, but what are we going to write? What do you, you got all right on this quiz on Friday, so what would you write? Excellent. The set of all XYs such that. And then remember, you can pick either one of these. I'm just going to write down the first one. It means all the points that satisfy this condition right here. So that can happen where you get infinite many solutions from a matrix also. You get that row of zeros down below right here. I have a question for you. What if this is all you were given? So pretend you didn't have any of this part up here. And someone said, write the solution to that matrix right there. Right? And that's all you have right there. What would you write? We know it's all real numbers or whatever. Yeah, you have to pull this out of the matrix, right? You'd have to write, this is x minus 3y equals 1. And then you would write the set of all xy's such that x minus 3y equals 1. You have an equation of the line staring at you right here. You can think about it, maybe. So that's all you were given. There was nothing even above it. This was the question. What's the solution to this matrix? You could still do it. This defines a line right here. That's one of the lines. Okay? All right, so I'm going to test your skills a little bit. So that's the basic lecture of the three things. We're going to practice them a little bit. Only just try to get like one step. All I care about is like, what do you think the next step would be? Leave yourself a little more room because I've just made the matrix a little bit bigger. In order to appreciate that we're only asking you to do the smaller matrix, we're going to do a little bit with the bigger matrix and just try to get one step. Why my matrix bars look like that? It's a longer weekend than I thought. So we're going to play for the next 15 minutes on like the bigger ones. So before we play with the bigger ones, I need to tell you the order, because order is important, right? Order is important that we do it. It goes like this. 1, 0, 0. 1, 0, 1. So first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. In a bigger matrix, you got to get six things accomplished. I don't want you to think about all six at the moment. I just want to take them one at a time. Think about it. If you saw that matrix right there, and my goal is to get a one in the upper left position, what would you do? Swap row one and row three, right? Do it. And write down the correct notation. I finally get to use my row three. You did. Half the battle with the bigger matrices is just keeping track of all your signs and being very neat and accurate so you don't accidentally put the wrong number down, because that just screws everything up below it. But did everyone do that? Perfect. You got a one there. That's step number one. Now we're going to get a zero right there. You got the theory behind it. You know we're going to use the one on top of it and that we need to create a pair of opposites. But, like, there's just a lot of numbers staring at you at the moment. So, make a new matrix. Bring down row 1, because row 1 is not going to change from this point on. But we need to get a new row 2 that has a 0 right here. Thoughts about how we might do that?
using the one above it, what would you have to multiply it by? Yeah, negative 3.
So we're going to do negative 3 times row 1 and add it to row 2, and then that's going to be a new row 2 right here. But I can't do all that arithmetic in my head, so I'm going to show it over here where it's coming from. So negative 3 times 1 is negative 3. Negative 3 times 2 is negative 6. Negative 3 times 4 is negative 12. And negative 3 times negative 5 is 15. So instead of having 3 numbers, now it's going to be 4. And then bring down the original row 2 underneath it. 3, 0, 1, negative 6. And when you add them up, that leadoff number should be a 0, because that's what we create, that's what we wanted to happen. So 0, negative 6, negative 11, and 9. And those are going to go in the new middle. I'm still debating if on this exam I might ask just what would the next step be? Like if I gave this matrix right here and I said, what would the next step be if they could get that middle row right? I don't know. That's how the 1414 class is doing it now. I don't know.
Well, they ought to be able to do one step.
One step. We'll see. Everybody got that row? And then I just bring down row 3. I'm only doing one step at a time, like 5, 3, 7, 4. You did it. Like now we've done 2 out of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 things that need to be accomplished. You've got 2 of them done. Let's see if we can get the next step. Let's talk about the next step. What is the next thing I need to get rid of or I need to accomplish? Nope, not negative 6 to 1. I got to get that guy to be a 0 first. So it's one with all the zeros underneath. And now we're in a bigger matrix. So now you got to get one with zeros underneath it. So I need that 5 to be a 0. You're going to use that one up top of it to make that happen. And you're going to ignore the second row. So let's practice that like one time. So rewrite the matrix. Rewrite row 1 because it's not going to change. Rewrite row 2. It's row 3 that we're attempting to change. So we need that 5 to be a 0. So you're going to use the top one, the one above it, the top one, to make that happen. So we need that to be a negative 5. It's going to be negative 5 times row 1.
So negative 5 times row 1 plus row 3.
I can't do that in my head. I've said what I'm going to do. I'm going to kind of execute it over here. And row 2 just kind of sits there idly. He's done at the moment, so don't worry about him.
So negative 5 times 1 is negative 5. Negative 5 times 2 is negative 10. Negative 5 times 4 is negative 20. Negative 5 times negative 5 is 25. And the original row 3 went 5, 3, 7, 4. Hey, I got the 0. That's a good start.
So should we always
wear all of
these
things
first?
It goes first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth.
So 0, negative 7, negative 13, and 21.
So the question becomes, in seeing some stuff in the bigger matrix, do you appreciate the smaller one a little bit more? A lot less numbers to keep track of. But I want to show you like what a full-blown one has more numbers to it, like this size. And we will continue, but we're not continuing with this one. I just want to show a couple steps of this big one. And I'm going to give you a smaller one to try all by yourself. We'll go back to a 2x2.
So we're going back to what we were doing a minute ago. But I just want to show you, like, this is what it looks like When you have a full one and you've got to accomplish all this, it takes an entire piece of paper. Because it could take 7 or 8 or 9 different iterations of the matrix to get to the one that has row echelon form. Like this with the ones and the zeros, so you can back substitution to solve it. Okay, try solving this one. Let's see. Okay, so back to the smaller version. An interesting test, Dave, would be solve this equation, but solve this system by graphing. Solve this exact same system by substitution. Solve this exact same system by elimination, and solve the exact same system by using a matrix. Because the same answers, I would get the same answers for all four, but that would show they could do all four ways.
Well, one thing to point out also is that if we ask you to do it a certain way, you have to do it that way.
Yeah, I was quite pleased on that quiz that everybody did. Yeah. With that was already a 1 in that position. That's quite nice to me. Because we're only giving you the smaller one, everyone's going to do it the exact same way. There's not a lot of variation when there's just a small thing. In other words, everyone's going to have the same step. What did you write?
Row 1 plus row 2.
Yeah. That's the only way to get a 0 down there. So
2 times row 1 plus row 2. So that would give me 2, 2, 2, -2, -1, 0. So I ended up with 0, 1, 2. So 0, 1, 2.
Look at that. That was a super easy one. Yeah. I didn't know. I just pulled one from the book. I didn't know. Because not only did you accomplish the 0, but you got the 1 also. And that one was given. You thought matrix literally took 1 step to solve it to get that 0 right there. You're not done yet, though. You still got to pull it back out.
So x plus y equals 1. Y equals 2, right? And so, let's see, my y coordinate's 2.
By the way, when I give you the group quiz, some of you have to remember
that, like, if we solve for y first and y is 2, make sure you put it in the y spot. Don't accidentally put it in the x spot or put the x in the y spot, because that's how you get the wrong coordinates. You have half the coordinates right, but when you sub it in, you put it in the wrong equation.
So x plus 2 equals 1, x equals negative 1. So I got negative 1, 2 to be the answer to that system. If you got that, you have a pretty good understanding of, well, that was a pretty easy one. I didn't mean it to be quite that easy, but sometimes that happens.
All right, take a look at the homework that I handed out to you. This is going to take control over whatever was in the book. So I can't figure that out.
So you're going to practice these columns at the top. I think within there is 3 of them to do from start to finish. Like 3 small matrices like this from start to finish that you have to get in the right order, and then pull them out of the system, put them in the matrix, pull them back out. So the rest of them are kind of halfway through.
This one?
Not at all.
Just the
handout. Yep, just the handout. And then numbers 2 and number 3, if you look in your notes, you'll see things that will help you with that. And then as a bonus problem, I threw one on there that involves some Z's from last class period. We didn't review that, but we will a little bit next class period about the Z's. Like, you can look at your notes and see it was one of the ones that we did. All right, I'm going to give you your quiz back. Grades were quite good on that. We're gonna revisit that again on Wednesday when you have another group quiz, only there's gonna be much more matrix stuff on it and a little bit less of all this. And then of course you revisit it again when you have your actual unit exam on Thursday and Friday. Today was the toughest day. Tomorrow's matrix stuff is not nearly as stressful as today's stuff was. But we will practice maybe a couple more of these just to get familiar with it. Tomorrow we're going to learn how to translate into XYZ some stuff in XYZ, like three equations with 3 unknowns, but we won't be solving them. And a little bit of matrix numbers, so nothing too bad.
Any questions or comments, Dave? No. Okay. Good luck today. Work hard on that. Use your notes, because everything that's on this is in your notes somewhere. I try to do an example of everything. So.